This morning we're looking at looking back and moving forward. Last Sunday, I know I've said it a number of times, but it is just a striking event, the last Sunday in the year of 2025. So we're reading Joshua chapter 1, 1-8. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, did you know that Joshua didn't have a mother, right? He was the son of Nun. I can't help it. It's a really old joke. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So it's an important scripture as we are looking at how that children of Israel are transitioning from the leadership of Moses to the leadership of Joshua, and that they are crossing the Jordan River. Now, today if we would go to the Jordan River, it's like a little creek, the one going through town here. But what happens, though, in the springtime when the mountains in the north warm up, and the snow melt, the snowpack from the top of the mountains comes down. Well, Jordan being not a very deep stream, well, it just floods the whole plain, and so it can be a mile wide, and as it goes down through the Jordan Valley. So we find that as we're looking now at this last Sunday, it is, we look at looking at it into the sense of what's coming in the new year. It's a launching pad. We're going to boldly go where no man has gone before. And those are Star Trek words, if you don't remember. But you know what? No man has gone this into our future. No one. We're going to be the one that goes into our future. Christ is the only one who knows the beginning from the end. So we're with him, and I'm with him on this journey, this voyage that we are headed out on. So for a moment, I want us to look back at what has been. So if you think of something that has happened in the last year, there are joys and there are victories and there are sorrows and there are defeat. So our life has a mixture of all of those. And it's how do we handle, how do we deal, how do we go forward, move forward in our events of life. So sometimes we need to tie up loose ends. Sometimes we need to just forget about something and move on, or we need to deal with something before we can move on. So there's all those different situations to look at, but there are answers to prayer. Make note of those. Often we have, I forget the statistic, but it's something in the effect that we have to have at least 10 positives to outweigh one negative. Because we just so much are in shock. What happens in our brain, it's not what I've read, is that the shock of something going wrong is more deeply embedded in our brain than the joyous things that go in our life. So that's why we're more prone to go in the direction of remembering the bad things. Now, there are some people that they never did get out of the ditch. They've been there all their life, and they're going to be there the rest of their life. So they've never gotten out. And I remember one guy I counseled years ago. He didn't want to get out. He said, "You know, I've told him." He used the analogy of sitting on a bar stool. He says, "I sit on a bar stool, and you know, I'm lifted up, but you know what? I fall off." Okay, and he says, "I don't want to get up again." Okay, is that where you want to stay? I want to stay on the floor. Oh, well, what can we do to help? I don't want up. That's why you're here. But that was the analogy. You know, he was through with trying to get up. He had fallen, and you know, he didn't ring the buzzer because he couldn't get up. So we look forward, though, with hope. See, the difference is Christ has given us hope. Christ has given us his word, and he is the one who has set us up to win, to go on with life. He has set us up that we have heaven as a future and that we have his presence and his spirit to be with us now. So with all the events that have happened around the globe, we may wonder what's going to happen next. But the greatest event that's going to happen is Jesus is coming back. Will it be this year? Next year at this time, will we be sitting in heaven? Don't know, but that's a good thought. Amen. So, looking back, God is faithful. So that's why I chose Joshua 1. This is a time of distinction. It's a time of separation, separating from the past and going into the future. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "My servant is dead." Now, it would seem like that's kind of a cruel thing. You know, "Moses, my servant is dead, move on." But it's not just that. We have the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and we have the Moses saying goodbye to the children of Israel, Moses having his part, and he goes up into the mountains, and he dies in the mountains somewhere. Or there's different things that go on with Moses. We don't know if he died. We don't know if he was translated into heaven, but What the important thing was, if the children of Israel knew where the body of Moses was, they'd have made a shrine out of it. Because he was such an impact leader in the nation, there was none greater than Moses, maybe David, but there was none greater than Moses, and so God was keeping them from making a god out of Moses, and he went up into the mountain. We say he went to heaven, his body of Moses was taken to heaven, don't know. But Joshua stands in the shadow of Moses, and he is this great leader, great prophet, and he was his great character in the history of the Israelite, his great character, his life has now come to a close. So if you think about Moses, this babe afloat in the Nile River in a basket, and it's important to remember the Nile River was one of the main gods of the Egyptians. So all through the life of Moses, even the 10 plagues, God is defeating the gods of the Egyptians. Okay? Every plague is a god of the Egyptians, and God is defeating them. He starts off with Moses being in a little ark, a little basket, floating down the river. Pharaoh's daughter picks her up, and it probably was Hatshepsut. Now, do you remember that? Hatshepsut. That's what the guide said when they were in Egypt. But anyhow, Hatshepsut was probably the one who drew him out of the river and raised him in Pharaoh's court. And I heard another thing just recently. Moses could have been the leader of Pharaoh's army. So he would have had the army behind him. And so whenever he killed the guy who was beating the slaves, well, that gave Pharaoh the ammunition he needed, as it were, to go after Moses and kill him and drove him out of the country. Now, Moses thought he was fleeing for his life. God was leading him unto his destiny. So whenever we look at life and we look at the events of life, where is God leading us? Oh, I'm running away. No. If you're running, well, you're going someplace, and God has a destiny. And rather than Moses, you know, knowing he's a Hebrew, he doesn't go up north to the Mediterranean area where Israeli area today. He doesn't flee there. He flees south to Midian. And there's a whole concept, there's a whole understanding of what the Midianites were and so on. So he goes there to find a wife. And he spends 40 years there. And then we have him coming back. And what does Moses do? He defeats the greatest power on the planet. He defeats the greatest empire of the time. He defeats Pharaoh. And children of Israel, after the plagues, they're set free. He leads them to the Red Sea. And of course, you know, what kind of a leader is this brings us out here to die? Takes them through the Red Sea. God opens this Red Sea, and they go across. The seas come back, destroys Pharaoh's army. He prayed for manna in the wilderness. They know where the rock is that Moses struck for water to come out of the rock for the children of Israel to drink from. When they were complaining, they didn't have water. And God says, strike the rock. And there's this huge rock in the middle of the desert in this area that could have been where Moses and the children of Israel were. It's a huge, it's at least 40 yards high, and it's split right down the middle, and it comes down to the bottom. There's a base on it. And then around it, it's like where water has just gushed out and washed a river down through the desert, through where all the children of Israel had been. So, water came out of the rock, all those types of things. And we see where God had used Moses to provide for them over and over again. So no matter how glorious the past is, you can't live there. You can't live in the past. God honors the past, but he doesn't call us to relive it. So before Joshua can move forward, God stops everything, acknowledges what Moses has done, acknowledges all the great things that are behind, and then God concludes it with the beginning of Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. The time is up. That life is the life of Moses, and all the events of the past, they're gone. They're finished. They're done. Now I have a new future for you. I've got a new river for you to cross. There's a new land to conquer, and it's going to take on a whole new challenge, kind of like a new life. There's a new threshold. You know, like I said, the Jordan River is probably a mile wide here at flood time. So they have the Ark of the Covenant. They step into the water, and the waters stop, and they go across on dry land. And go to the town of Jericho. So this is the beginning. And we find here again, I will give you every trace, verse 3, looking forward for God's promises, they are still ahead of us. All of God's blessings are not behind us. God's blessings are in front of us. And so this is the promise that God gives to Joshua. You see, now, we want to look at this, and what we want to find out here is God does not give them a command. He gives them a promise. I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. Hello. That's a VBS song. If Rachel were here, she could sing it. So, Paula, yeah, she was... Yeah, Paula was the anchor voice on that one. But what we want to see here is God doesn't say, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. He says, you've got a promise. And here it is. Every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses, your territory. So I will give to you every place that your foot steps. That's quite a statement. because your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea. No one is able to stand against you all the days of your life. I mean, think about that. Everywhere you go, I'm going to give it to you, and no one is going to be able to stand against you. Now, if you think about that for our life, new year, launching pad, no one's going to be able to stand against you. Why? Because God is with us. You know, if we're doing the right things for the right reasons, we always win. Now, other people may say it's foolish and you can't, but we still win. We've influenced things, even if it's use the illustration when I flew from New York to Johannesburg. You know, it's like 12 hours or something. If the plane were off 1 degree, we'd have missed the continent. It doesn't mean much in the first 100 miles, but after a couple of 1,000 miles of being off just a degree or two, you can miss the whole planet. Well, miss the whole continent. So in our life, knowing what is right, and we influence things, if it were just a little bit, we've still done the right thing, and it'll influence the course of the destination. So we see in these verses, God does not begin with a command, he begins with a promise. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Notice that you cannot conquer this without walking it. You can't conquer this land without walking it. Now, in our day, today we can, we have missiles and satellites, and we see things on the other side of the planet. We don't have to go there. We can just send a missile. Well, we find that in the time here that God is telling the children of Israel, every place you stand, I'm going to give it to you. Every place you walk, I'm going to give it to you. So, number one, they have to have the initiative to go forward. They can't stay on the wrong side of the river. They have to go through the river. They have to walk around Jericho. They have to walk into the promised land. And God has given to them the entire land because he promised it to Abraham. And so they are his descendants, and they're just fulfilling the promise. In our life, we are heirs of Christ, sons and daughters of God. We have a great promise given to us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never abandon. So you see, we've got these promises that help us in walking our walk, walking our path in life. Where is it taking us? Well, we're going forward. Well, where are you going? I don't know, but this is where I'm going. When it changes, God will give me directions. So you can't change to the right or left until you hit the wall. Then you got to go right or left, all right? So the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 33:1, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up into the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants." So if you think about it, you have Abraham, you have Isaac, and you have Jacob. Now, Abraham couldn't have a son, couldn't have a child. God gave them a child. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah, they couldn't have children. God gave them a child, and then they had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was later changed to Israel, and that's where you got the 12 tribes. But anyhow, these individuals, they're just one person. And what happens to that one person? God gives them a promise. I think I preached on it years ago when Barbra Streisand sang, "On a Clear Day, I Can See Forever," Okay, it was a long time ago. So anyhow, if you think about it, these guys, they're able to see forever. God gives them a vision. Look up into the sky. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. God, there's only one of me. We can't have kids. So whenever God gives you a promise, we may look at the difficulty. God is saying, the difficulty is not a problem for me. Just by faith, continue to walk. So this important year, there is an important truth. God promises and requires faith-filled steps. God requires and wants us to take the steps with a promise. You can't receive tomorrow's blessing setting on today's soil. You can't allow tomorrow's hourglass, the sand in tomorrow's hourglass, it can't go through today's time. You got to get there. So we're going forward. So what is God going to do to reassure Joshua? God gives him promises that everything is going to be all right. that wherever I lead you, I am there. It's important. When God leads us, he's already there. He already goes before us. So I had another part here I'll just skip. Third part, God's word for the future is to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. be strong and courageous, verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I gave this land to those guys, their ancestors. And now you've got a million and a half people, descendants of these three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've got a million and a half, maybe 2 million people, and God is saying, Joshua, you're going to bring these people to the land I promised to their forefathers. See, God does not forget a promise, no matter how far away it is, and how far the distance is. So it's been 400 years, and God reminds them of the promise he made to the forefathers. Be strong and very courageous. You know, why would God tell Joshua, be strong and very courageous? Over and over again. Three times at least in this little section, he says, be strong and very courageous. What was he telling him? Joshua, stop shaking in your boots. Don't get caught up in your fears. Remember what fear is? False evidence appearing real. That acrostic? Fear is false evidence appearing real. And God is telling Joshua, be strong, because the calling of God is bigger than you. If we could do it on our own, what do we need God for? So God challenges us to do what is bigger than you. What is beyond, you know, it's like we're able to do it. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a brain surgeon. It's just a year or two too late. But God's not wanting us to be something, you know, ridiculous like that. But God's calling for our life it's going to be difficult at times. It's going to be hard. And the reason is, if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. So courage is connected to, for ye shall cause these people to inherit the land. Okay? The people, the land that's already inhabited. The Hittites, the Hivites, Jebusites, all those guys. You know, there again, years ago, they said those people never existed. Well, now they found cities. They found these places where these cities were. It's always interesting. They never retract their statements of failure. So our task is bigger than ourselves. And so how do we make application of this to our life and to our future? Well, what God has for you requires courage. That we do have a future in front of us. And things may not go right, but we know God never fails. The key words to a blessed future are written here in Joshua 1, 7, and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do nothing, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So, here comes the conditions Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey my law, for you will find success. Keep the book of the law, keep the scriptures in your mind and in your heart. So that's why we're here. To hear the word of God, to hear the scriptures, to have these things over in our mind, to remind ourselves of what God is doing, what God has promised. You see, if we want God's blessing in the coming year, his word must shape our thinking. So are we thinking defeat, or are we thinking courage and faith? Are we looking back and seeing failure, or are we looking and looking ahead and seeing promise? It's a challenge because our faith, you know, look at Moses and John. Well, Moses going down there, how are these people, why are these people going to listen to me? You know, I've been gone for 40 years. But God brings it to pass. Joshua, how am I going to lead all these rebellious people into a promised land that already has people in, and they don't want to give up their cities? Be strong and very courageous. So the same God who brought Israel out of the wilderness, same God who spoke to Joshua, is the same God who speaks to us. Doesn't give us crazy things. He gives us a strategy for our future. He gives us a strategy for our future. The strategy is his word. I'll never leave you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will walk with me. He will go before me. His presence shall guide us. He will be a light unto our path. He is the one who saves us. He's the one who holds us in his hands. He's the one who has provided for us. He knows the future. He knows what's coming. He prepares us ahead of time. So you look at all this that is surrounding us in our faith, and we have the ability and the confidence to go forward. You know, our society looks at New Year's like, it's like New Year's a new beginning. Everything is gone. Everything is new. And we start all over again. Well, we started all over again when Christ entered our life. And now we're continuing our journey with Jesus until Jesus comes. And that's our goal. That's our faith. So the same God who brought us through this past year is the same God who will take us through to the next year. And I remember different years speaking on New Year's Day, or no, the last Sunday of the year, and, you know, promises made, promises kept, you know, looking at what God's promises are in your life. And it's important that we kind of mentally take note. What are the promises that we believe are most important for our life? And allow God to imprint them on our hearts, imprint them on our thinking, so that we can believe and receive where God is taking us. So, every place that the sole of your foot will trod, I've given it to you. What if where we have surrounded ourselves with, whether it's by walking around things or stepping or going places, whatever, mentally putting things together, going around them, we have to go forward with that in mind, that God is going to give to us what we can't get on our own. So we're going to believe, we're going to receive, and go forward. Remember, we anchor our thoughts in the future, and the future does not belong to fear. It belongs to faith. So, as we move forward, and as we think about things to remember, grounded, we are to be grounded in God's word. He is not there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God is with us, and he's leading us into the future. That's why we study his scriptures and come to church and sing our songs. We are strengthened by his presence. We are courageous and obedient. So, we look back with gratitude. We look forward in faith. God is able to do all things. I am capable of doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, what is it that you take for What is it that you take from this message? What is it that is important that you need to grasp in your heart for this coming year? So I'm going to wait 30 seconds. Close your eyes. Think on these things. And we'll see what comes into your mind. So what comes into your mind? Are we Joshua or are we Moses? Are we looking back or are we looking forward into the future? Every place that you step, I'll give it to you. I'm sure you have others that was in your mind and heart. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word that speaks to us, your spirit that imprints it upon our hearts and minds. We ask you, Lord, to be with us and guide us into these truths of your word. We ask you, Lord, to give us strength and help in our daily walk with you. Help us to know the truth that sets us free. And God, we just believe that you're with us in every situation. And Lord, you have a future prepared for us. Give us the strength to go forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.